Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
I am doing question mark, Millennial Ben. Joel Klatt will join us coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Question mark presented by Brakes Plus. Kristen Littleton says, Stank, Tyler called you out as the first official diva lineman to turn on your O-line brothers and join the media and cause problems between you and them. Mark, tell me why Tyler is wrong.
Because I had no problem. I didn't have any problems. You and them. Take you out, them. Yeah, they had problems. I didn't have any problem.
So you acknowledge yourself as being the first official diva lineman.
Well, I'm not a diva. There's no diva about it.
Well, now, hold on 1 second.
You are not calling me a diva.
I gotta call BS on that.
You are not calling me a diva.
Has anybody listened to this show for almost 6 years?
You're not calling me
a diva.
You
are full of yourself.
Have I ever been late?
No. You always beat me here.
Do I ever go on the road and not show up? And
nope.
There's one thing about me. There is no diva bone in my body when it comes to work ethic and the way I prepare.
100%.
And the reason I prepare and the reason I can tell you exactly what I think is because I've studied it. I believe it. It's not hyperbole. I'm not over here on my soapbox. I'm not one of the TV talking heads. I'm not Skip Bayless. So, I mean, there's no diva. Man, I went out and I got a job. And as I've told many people, and I'll tell Tyler, I approached that job the same way I approached my NFL career. I give 100% of myself to the people who are paying me to do the job. So play well, and guess what? You get praised. Play like garbage, and you know what? You get told you played like garbage. And it's a pretty fair. Nobody graded me harder than me during my 12 year. You could say anything you wanted about me. I don't care, because you can't possibly be as critical of me than me. At some point it shifted. Maybe it was social media. But at some point the game shifted where everybody got sensitive about other people's opinions and they quit grading themselves as critically as they should. I think that's a fair assessment. And I'm not talking about Tyler. I'm just talking about people in general and sports in general.
Well, I'll give you a great example. The back and forth that you've been having with Giant fan for a year. I mean, New York sports fan used to be able to carry himself, herself as the baddest.
Right.
You shut your mouth on the,
right.
On the block, right? I mean, nobody was tougher and more caustic and, you know, thick skin than a New York sports fan, right?
Right.
Man, oh man, I'm looking at your Twitter feed yesterday as Giant fan continues to be just so snowflake when it comes to you calling their game on Sunday. Let's see. Let me just read some of these that came in. Yeah. He just has this disdain for the Giant fans for whatever reason, probably because we came after him for being biased during the Seattle game, which happens. But instead of just owning it or even ignoring it, he goes after Giant fans. Mark Schlereth calling his own team. Let's see how more biased it can be than the game between the Seahawks and Giants last year.
Yeah, you talk about just sensitive.
Never forget, peeps, let's make this bleeper's life miserable on Sunday.
Yeah.
Hashtag NYG, hashtag Together Blue.
Yeah, Together Blue. A bunch of fans are going to ruin my weekend. Oh, my Lord. You know what? You know what?
It just shows how insecure you are about your broadcasting.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it shows. You know what's crazy about that?
And I got to leave this one. Okay. Finally, this one. Thank God I'll be at the game. Listening to Mark Schlereth call a game is unbearable. I'd rather listen on mute.
Yeah, what do you hear when you listen on mute? Nothing? Dumbass. I mean, you're going to watch the game with your eyes closed while you listen on mute? Moron. Yeah, the bottom line is, I think it's funny. You know, I think.
Can you make this quick? I got a meeting.
Here's the thing that I've always adhered to when doing this job. And this comes from, you remember Don Martin?
Yeah.
Runs Fox Radio now.
Yeah.
Nationally.
Yeah.
He told me when I was a young broadcaster, when I first got into this business, he said, listen, as long as you're on this ratio, you want 50% of the people that love you and 50% of the people that hate you. And as long as that's the ratio, you're doing your job. And I feel very strongly about people who hate me. I love them.
Yes! Another guy who doesn't mind if he's hated.
No, he doesn't.
I think he enjoys it.
Yeah, you know, other than the clean stuff, because I'm a dirty pig, but other than that, Joel and I are kindred spirits, other than he is really germophobic, and I will eat stuff off, I'll eat stuff off trays from a hotel that I walk through it in the middle of the night checking things out.
And by the way, Joel Klatt joins us now, presented by Audi Fire Irons. Have you heard this story? Go ahead, Mark. Tell the story.
I just almost vomited for a second. Did I hear that correct? Something off a tray in a hotel that someone had, left out?
Room service? I'm checking into a hotel. It's late. It's 12. I've been traveling. I didn't get, I was rushing between flights. I didn't have something to... And I'm walking down the hall, dragging my bag, and there's a tray, and somebody didn't eat the bun or the muffin. There's even the pad of butter there. I'm like, hallelujah, Homer. I'm just grabbed that thing, maybe a piece of fruit that hasn't been really touched, maybe just glanced over type of thing. I'm like, I'm in. And yeah, I've done that on multiple occasions. You wouldn't do that?
I'm at a loss. I can't even touch my bag after it's been on the gross rollers in the security at the airport. And thinking about someone's, I'm about ready to throw up. This is unbelievable.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. The great Mark Schlereth.
Other than that difference, I think we're kindred spirits.
You're identical.
We're identical every other place, except that I am a filthy pig.
I don't know how anybody out there listening right now is not gagging just a little bit. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I wouldn't even do that.
You wouldn't?
No.
I mean, that's that makes the fried cheeseburger look like a sterile room meal.
Yeah. All right. Joel, boy, what a weekend it was in college football. And I thought the scene at the Virginia Tech game was unbelievable and made the hair, stand up on my arms. But then what you guys experienced at Camp Randall at Wisconsin would jump around was even better. And did you guys play a role in that?
Well, no. I mean, the stadium's going to do that regardless, right? So they do that at the beginning of every fourth quarter. All we decided to do, and this was, kudos to our producer, Chuck McDonald. His idea was and he goes to our executives and he says, can we dump a full break, a commercial break, make up those breaks, in those commercial segments somewhere else, and will you let us just cover it live, not taped, not anything, bring the broadcast back and let's just shoot jump around because they're going to do it. So we did not play a role in what the stadium was doing. Our only role was trying to bring everybody that was not in the stadium into that environment live. And listen, there was a hiccup because they were late. Television, we live and die by the clock. And so we came back when they were supposed to start jump around and there was still about a minute left. So our producer gets in Gus's ears, right? And he was like, hey Gus, we got about a minute. you know, and I just told Gus at that point, I kind of signaled to him that it's like, I'm out. Like, I'm not going to say anything here. So he was just kind of, you know, we call it like vamping and only Gus's fashion and brought it to the point where we just covered it live. And man, it's like, I got to tell you, like the joy and the electricity in the stadium, I think it's an often overused term, right? Electricity and energy and all this stuff. Man, that was as palpable as I've ever felt. I had an inability to say anything. I was very proud of us. You know, no one said anything. We just like covered, like we let our director shoot the stadium. And I'm hoping, and based on the texts and the social media feedback that I got, I'm hoping that it translated over the air. And I think that it did. But that was our role in it, is that we just covered it. And you know, I'm really proud of our team for doing that and for Chuck's idea. We just came back live and tried to bring it to you at home.
I think it was so cool, and I thought it was so well done. And during the Fox seminar this summer, they had a segment called Just Shut the Bleep Up, and it was announcers that were talking over great moments. And sometimes just limiting what you say and just letting people feel that moment is the best thing you can do in a broadcast. I love this tweet by you, and I'm going to read it to you from just after the weekend. As I reflect on the amazing college football weekend, I can't help but think for the first time in a long time, it felt like we finally stopped yelling at each other and started yelling for each other. Enter Sandman to jump around, Roll Tide. Thank you, college football. It was, I just thought it was a tremendous overall weekend. Forget the outcome of the games. I just thought the, you know, again, overused pageantry, passion, excitement, all that stuff. It was there. It was palpable coming through the television screen.
Well, you know, I've often said, and listen, I think that there are stark differences between the NFL and college football. And part of that is the, you know, the subtleties of each fan base and the fact that it's, while it's, yes, corporate, and we talk about revenue a lot, you know, it's not quite as corporate as the National Football League. And those stadiums in the NFL are beautiful, but they can be corporate, you know, and you still get this, like, this old-timey family feel for college football. And I've often said that, like, part of what makes college football so great, guys, is that everyone is a part of it that is there because you went to the school. You are part of the fabric of what went on there, right? That's part of your history individually and maybe within your family and all your friends and everything versus just being a fan of a pro team. And those games, you know, I've always thought that like a home game acts as almost kind of like a Thanksgiving dinner for that institution's family, right? And you get to all come back and tailgate and be around each other. And for the first time in over a year, that got to happen. And I just thought it was an amazing weekend. And you're right. I don't feel like fan bases were too bent out of shape about wins and losses, although there's certainly overreactions after a week one. I just felt like this overwhelming sense from the country, both in the numbers of viewers and all these telecasts, to the fans in the stands, there was just an overwhelming kind of release of some small bit of normalcy. It was really fun to be a part of, and I just thought it was an amazing weekend. I really did, and I'm hoping all of you. I know Denver's not like the best college sports town, but man, like I think it was felt all over.
Want to get to your thoughts on CU and Texas A&M here in a little bit, but a couple of takeaways from the weekend. Alabama's relentless year in and year out dominance, good yeah. or bad for college football?
Well, I'm never going to say it's bad. You know, you're the hater of greatness. You have been for the better part of decades.
That's not true. True greatness, I love.
We work together.
True greatness. I agree with you on that, by the way, Joel. He is the hater of greatness.
He is a hater of greatness, which is fine. Now, having said that, you know, I think that more power to him. The structure of the sport is not built for parity, and I think that that's where we're falling short. You know, I'm fine with somebody dominating. I really am. I mean, the Patriots dominated forever. And I think that, you know, we might be on the precipice of the Chiefs being in, you know, 6, 7, 8 AFC championship games with Patrick Mahomes. And I know that makes people, but but you get what I'm saying. In a parity-driven league, we see greatness, and I think it's more respected. In the college game, I think people say, is it good or bad? Because there doesn't seem to be a way out, right? And it's not just Alabama, Mike, but it's the top five. You know, do you know that right now the preseason top five and Notre Dame made up all but one spot in every playoff spot in the last 4 years? The only other team that was outside of the top five in Notre Dame was LSU to make a playoff in the last 4 years. So that's not good. It's not Bama's fault that they're great. The structure of our sport needs to expand in the postseason. There's a lot of things that needs to take place. So it's a long-winded answer. I'm never going to take anything away from Bama. I love what they're doing. But the structure of the sport definitely needs to change a little bit to drive some element of parity in order to engage more fan bases, in particular into the postseason.
As we get ready to roll here in Denver, Colorado, as the Denver Broncos take on the Giants, I just want to get your assessment, and this will go back to your college, you know, your college expertise, Daniel Jones, kind of where he came out as, what you thought of him. And I know it's limited because you're doing college football and you're preparing and all that stuff, but what you see out of him now and just what you think of Daniel Jones, the quarterback, because this for me is a make it or break year for him.
Yeah. And I hate that for him because I think he's playing behind an average to poor offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's only so many, you know, there's only so much you can do as a quarterback. I think he's a skilled guy. I thought that, listen, I have not been high on the Giants draft going back for a number of years. I, you know, every single draft, it seems like I look at their pick and I'm like, man, well, you might like that guy. That's all well and good. You left somebody on the board that was a better player. You know, if you go back and look at some of these drafts, save for maybe Saquon Barkley, but as a running back, who knows how much you can impact your organization over the course of 8, 9, or 10 years. You know, I think Daniel, listen, in a better situation, Daniel Jones would be having a lot of success. But the fact of the matter is that they're kind of a mess, and they haven't figured out their offensive line. Would you want to play behind this offensive line? The guy like Nate Solder, who I love Nate, obviously a fellow Buff. He hasn't played right tackle better part of a decade. He sat out last year and opted out of the season. Now he's going to have to go up against Von Miller. Like, that's not good for Daniel Jones. I don't know if there's anything Daniel Jones can do in that sense. So I like his skill set. I liked it coming out of college. But the fact remains, I've felt like the Giants have done a poor job in the draft for a number of years. And now there's a guy who's trying to basically make his career behind a bad offensive line, and that's not a recipe for success.
All right, what's your feel for the Broncos this year? This a 8, 9, 10-win team that could compete for the playoffs?
I'm way more bullish than everybody else. I don't – like, I see power rankings and all this stuff, and I'm like, wait, hold on. This is – it doesn't seem to be the team that I see when I watch the Broncos. I think that this defense could be a top three defense in the National Football League. Mark, I don't know. I mean, you're obviously way closer to the NFL than I am, but I think that they've got a real chance to be a great defense. If you can play that level of defense, it really comes down to two things. Can your quarterback and offense, and maybe more specifically your offensive play caller, be aggressive enough early in the game to play with a lead? Okay, that's paramount when you're talking about having a great defense, in particular that can rush the passer if Vaughn can stay healthy, and we'll see what's going on with Bradley and this. What's up with this arrest, by the way? It's traffic violations, bro. Show up in court. Like, do what you need to do. Regardless, playing with a lead, that's number one. And then number two is limiting the mistakes on the offensive side. Obviously, I think Teddy would be better in a play-action type situation, but he can sit there and he can dink and dunk when and if he needs to. If he can stay away from turning the football over, and if Denver offensively can get a lead early in games, I think that they're a 10-win team. I think that they're a playoff team. I think that this is a team that has that caliber of roster. But I got to tell you, I don't sense that from all the pundits out there talking about the NFL. And to be honest, I just don't get it. I think Denver's a really good team.
I think that Denver has increased the level of depth on their roster overall, Joel, to the point where it is becoming a very good roster. The quarterback question, you know, is always going to be a question. And I'm with you. They have never played with a lead. There's a reason you can't create turnovers. You don't create turnovers when you're down 10 points and the other offense can be conservative. It just doesn't happen. So there
That's
is
exactly
that.
Right.
There, you know, there's that symbiotic relationship between creating turnovers and having the lead. So you're 100% right there. The other issue that can wear a defense down is when you have to spend too much time on the football field, even if you're an elite-level defense. So for me, it's not only making good decisions, it's possessing the ball, it's staying on schedule, it's being on third in third down and four minus so that you have duality in your play calling ability to where the defense has to defend everything. And the issue here, the crux, and this is one thing that George Payton has really addressed, especially after the initial cutdown where they traded and moved for a couple of people, is special teams. This special teams unit has consistently put that defense in harm's way with returns and everything else. And the hidden yardage in special teams, we just, as broadcasters, I know I don't do enough work on the special team side of what goes on. But you want to talk about the depth of a roster for me? Show me a good special teams like unit, and I'll show you a team that has great athletic depth and good football depth on its roster.
Well, a defense, here's the thing, is that a great defense can't overcome the shortcomings throughout the rest of the team. Okay? So, if you have a great defense, and there's a Tim Ferriss line, and I know that there are other people that talk about this sort of stuff, but I'm a Tim Ferriss fan. He's the guy who wrote the 5-Hour Work Week. He's kind of a life hack guy. I might have even said this last week. I might be repeating myself, but it's not about not having weaknesses. It's about having strengths, finding them, identifying them, and then building habits around those strengths. Okay, so if your defense is strong, to your point, you better have as good of a first down offensive game plan as there is out there. Why? Why does that correlate? Well, it correlates because on first down is when you set yourself up to be on schedule for the rest of the set of downs. That's how you get into third and four minus, like you were talking about, right? Because you're talking about duality of playbook. For me as a quarterback, I just think about the number of times that the quarterback has to take a snap and throw it when you have to throw it versus throw it when you want to throw it. Those are massive differences for a quarterback. And if you're going to throw the ball 25 times, I would throw out a giant bet. If you can throw it 18 times when you want to and 7 times when you have to versus 12 times and so on, I think that you're in a great position to win the game. You talk about special teams. What the Denver Broncos have to do is play complementary football. And that complementary football led them to a Super Bowl championship when they had a great defense, right? I mean, Peyton Manning could barely throw the ball through a wet paper bag that year, and they still won a Super Bowl. So it's not about necessarily having a quarterback that can be an above the X's and O's player. If you play great defense, you can be complementary. And if they can be complementary, I think that they can be a really good team. Again, I'm higher on this team than most. I saw a power ranking that had them like 26. I was like, wait, really? I think that they beat the Giants. First of all, that kick time's advantageous. They don't have to kick on that early clock going over to the East Coast. I think this is going to be Fangio's first win as an opening game of the season that he gets as the head coach.
It'll be his first win in the month of September. Wake me up when
Gosh,
September ends.
Right?
Yeah, that's 0-7.
0-7.
That's pathetic.
Yes.
Like, can we just call a spade a spade? That's ridiculous.
That's bad.
That's pathetic.
Well, that's why he's on the hot seat starting now. That's why it's a must-win, in my opinion. Hey, real quick, how much of a chance do you give CU against Texas A&M Saturday?
That's a tough ask, guys. I mean, A&M's defense is real. It's one of the best defenses in all of college football. They can run the rock. Now, they struggled offensively a little bit in their opener because their first-year quarterback, Haynes King, didn't play very well. And that does lend itself to Colorado's strengths, right? They can stop the run. And with Nate Landman in there, I think that they're decent against the run. But A&M is skilled. They've recruited at the top end of college football. They're a top six, you know, 5-6 team in college football, depending on the rankings that you look at. That is a really tall order for a team that doesn't have enough offensive explosiveness in Colorado to really sit there and score the requisite points against a team like A&M. So I think this is going to be a tough one.
All right. Who you got this weekend?
I'm in the shoe. Oregon at Ohio State. Could not be more excited. Game of the week. Should be a great one.
All right. Just if you get to Columbus, you've had some travel delays, you get in a little bit of late to your hotel. Listen, if you're walking down the hallway and you see that,
I've ever seen.
If you see that spare chicken tender,
I can't believe I've heard that.
If you see a chicken tender laying there, don't be afraid.
Oh, yeah, the thing is unmolested.
I can't
it
even.
Should be good.
I can't even touch elevator buttons. This.
How much money would it take to get you to take a bite of, you know, the other side of the roll, dinner roll, where they only took a couple of bites off the front side? You just turn it to the back side and eat a couple of bites. How much money would that take?
I mean, there's obviously an amount. It is way higher than you think. Like, whatever you're thinking, I think in your mind, you're probably thinking like, oh, he'd do it for $50.
Right.
There's no chance I would do it for less than like $100,000.
I believe that. I swear to God, I believe
you said,
that.
You said with a bite out of it. This is not like
the other end. Yeah.
Like,
clean it.
Absolutely not. Oh my gosh. I could barely live with myself. I think I would probably just keel over and die.
The most amazing thing about Klatt is that this is a guy who played quarterback and has bragged that you could blindfold him, line him up with every center he ever played with in high school and college, and he would be able to identify who that center is just by placing his hands under the guy's butt.
Well, not only the feel, but Mike, it's more about the smell.
And the moisture. The moisture would
That's right. That's right. Everybody's got a scent, and my centers had a scent.
And yet, you're you. I mean, it's
what did you want me to do, Mike? What, I can't not take the snap.
Had they had the gloves back then, you know, the real sticky gloves, you could have been Joel Two Gloves, just like Teddy.
Right.
Yeah. I could have. But listen, your right hand is the one that has to touch the butt.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't a glove thrower. So that was just not afforded me. And let's be honest. I didn't mind the smell so much at the time. And this is obviously a while ago in my life. And a lot of these germ things have popped up as I've gotten older. The only thing I didn't like and that was hard for me was the splatter. You know, so when I got a sweater and we were like in a hot day and then it would snap the ball up there, because you really snap that thing. You jam that ball right up there. You know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah. You know, right between, you know.
I got drafted.
And sometimes you get the splatter.
Yeah.
If my hand smelled really bad, I would just stick it in their face and be like, smell yourself. That's what you smell like.
Yeah.
And on that note,
Joel, you're the best.
Thank you, pal.
Later, boys.
Joel Klatt, presented by Audi Flatterons.
Wow. There you go. Smell yourself.
Yep.
Love it.
How about the dichotomy there? Okay, we got a break. We'll be back. More Tell Me Why I'm Wrong's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
Yeah, I went a little late there with Joel, but come on.
Joel's work.
Guy's radio gold. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
When he starts telling stories like he told at the end there, what am I going to cut him off?
Yeah, you can't cut that off.
No. All right. He says he's bullish on the Broncos. And Joel's a tough grader. Yeah. Joel's hard to win over. So I take that that gets my attention when somebody like Joel says, hey, I absolutely believe this could be a 10-win playoff contending team.
Yeah, there are a lot of ifs. There are a lot of caveats in that. So, I mean, there's
assuming good health. Let's start with
okay.
that.
Assuming good health.
Relative good health, okay? Everybody deals with injuries, but if you can avoid the catastrophic injuries, now give me your analysis.
assuming good health on the defensive side of the ball, okay, and assuming that you're going to possess the ball, I'm not even talking about big scores, Mike. I'm not talking about, hey, you got to average 27 points a game. Let's walk before we run. Okay, we've been a 17-point-a-game team for a long time. 10 points is a lot of points. Okay, so let's calm down on that. But assuming you can score 23, 24 points a game, you should win a lot of games.
That's always been the magic number for me, 24.
Yeah.
That's the number.
And I don't even know that you have to hit exactly 24 because I think this defense has the potential of being really good. But again, you can't put them in short field situations. You can't have a bunch of three and outs. And it really comes down to how much faith, not how much faith do you have in Teddy Bridgewater, not how much faith do you have in the offensive line, not how much faith do you have in Jerry Jeudy having a breakout year, not how much faith do you have in, you know, in the running back room. That's not it at all. How much faith do you have in Noah Fant or Alberto or Saubert? Like, it really comes down to how much faith do you have in play calling? How much faith do you have in scheduling your, and the scheduling of your offense, in the calling of your offense? So to me, if you can consistently, and Joel said this, win on first down, I've always said this for my whole broadcasting career. People always talk about third downs as being the most important down in football. First down. Because if you're in first down and you get to second down and five, dude, the world is your oyster, so to speak.
I love the story that the defensive coordinator, I don't know if you've put a name to him, but told you about Aaron Rodgers and second and short.
Oh yeah, is it last year's Detroit Lions coordinator?
Was it Patricia?
No. It was Corey Unlin or something like that. But he's just like, With Aaron Rodgers, if you're in second down and five, I'd just like to give him the first down and start over again.
Concede 5 yards.
Concede it and just say, let's start over. He goes, if you don't get him to second down and 10, you have no chance. Zero chance. No matter what you call, no matter what you do. And to me, it's always been, man, if you're productive on first down, I told Brian Griese this when Brian Griese started at quarterback as a young player. Keep us out of third and long. Just keep us out of third and long. We'll survive. We'll thrive. You get us in third down and 7+ on a consistent basis. And that means, dude, if you can't get a completion, go get 3 yards scrambling. Go find a way to get us to third and 4-. We'll survive. And we'll be okay. We're in third down and 7 all game long, and it's what Joel talked about. It's everybody knows you're throwing. You know you're throwing. They know we're throwing. Those are impossible situations. And if you live in third down and 7+ for your 15 third downs, you're going to be like 4 of 15 and you're going to lose by 10 points.
You know, I just realized.
What's that?
It was your fault.
What was my fault?
So you told Brian Griese to do this and to do that. Apparently you didn't tell him don't throw any interceptions that Terrell Davis has to chase down. Thanks, Mark. Nice job.
No, that's not on me.
Nice job.
It's on Matt Lepsis blowing out TD's knee. TD was fine until Matt Lepsis comes flopping over there. Ooh. That's what young players get you. They get your superstar injured because they're giving too much effort on an interception. What have I told you about interceptions?
Good point. What did you always
get
used to
get your
do?
Head on a swivel and then see how quickly you can get out of the film of the frame of the film so you can stop running.
What's up with you?
No, young guy going to go make a, I'm going to be a hero. Let me go make a play. I'll get a tackle. Boom, TD's knee's gone.
If that was you, you would have done what?
So I was on the field. I was 30 yards away from it because I didn't hustle.
You did just enough to be shown in the film
for like 1,000, 1,000, and he's gone.
And then you just veer off.
I'm like David Copperfield.
He's gone.
Poof, gone.
Where'd 69 go?
Yeah. He's gone. What happened?
He was there just a second ago.
Right.
All right, we got one more chance for you to get Mark to utter those magic words. You're not wrong. That's next. Cordially invite you to go to DenverFan.com. Check out my latest column. As I make the case as to why this Broncos-Giants game is a must-win, hear me out. Just read what I have to say. Please go in with an open mind and see if I can change your mind. So read that at DenverFan.com. Check it out. One more opportunity. Tell me why I'm wrong. Here we go.
Let's do this.
Joel's splatter story and smell yourself comment grossed me out more than anything you guys have ever said. Tell me why I'm wrong. Jackie from Vancouver, Washington.
Well, I mean, there's the cat turd story.
Yeah, that one didn't gross me out as much as Joel's.
That grossed you out?
Not grossed me out, but it definitely registered a strong ew from me. It was a strong ew
I think that's,
reaction.
I think that's probably,
maybe because I know Joel so well and I know what kind of germaphobe he's become.
Right. But I think that's probably the inside part of the game that most fans don't think about or ever realize until you bring it up. Like, it's just commonplace. Like, I'll give you an assignment. Thursday night opener. Check out Ryan Jensen. Dude, that dude is wrapped up like a sumo wrestler. He has got so many towels in his butt crack. His whole butt crack is full of towels. Like, he walks, he's almost bull-legged because he's got so many towels crammed in his butt crack. Because he's sweaty and Tom Brady doesn't like it. He doesn't want him to snap up a sweaty ball. A sweaty ball. He doesn't want him to snap up a sweaty football. There. Wow. That escalated quickly right there.
Please stop.
Good times.
Yeah.
Good times.
Check it out. It's almost, when you look at it and you finally recognize it, it's like on film. I always laugh about it. But it's one of those things that happens, you know, in a long run. I got drafted as a center and I don't produce a lot of crack sweat. I'm the perfect center. I moved to guard though because they needed a guard. That's where I ended up playing. But I don't really sweat very much. But there are some dudes that are profuse.
Ryan Jensen, CSU Pueblo,
yes,
right?
Profusely sweats. Like that dude just.
The point where Brady said, you gotta.
Oh, dude, I've talked to Brady about it. Because he's got what we call in the locker room. I think I can use this term. If I can't, then you be the arbiter here. We call it swamp ass.
Oh, yeah, that's fine.
That dude has swamp ass.
Uh huh.
And so Brady makes him jam. I mean, it looks uncomfortable watching him walk with all the towels in his butt crack, but he's Tom Brady.
Right.
And if Tom Brady doesn't want crack sweat on his hands, he's not going to have crack sweat.
If Tom Brady says you will put this diaper towels on. Or this diaper on,
yeah,
you will do it. No questions asked.
Right. Right. You just do it.
To Joel Klatt saying it would take at least $100,000 for him to eat the other half of a bun that's already been bitten into, and all he has to do is eat the clean half?
Right.
He wouldn't do it for less than $100,000. Texter says, $100,000? I eat this roll off a New York City street and fight off a rat to do it for half of that. That's good. That's right. Good. All right.
Yeah.
We only got one today. Tell me why I'm wrong.
Questionable. Yeah. Questionable one.
Broncos have to find a way to go 4-2 or better in the division if they want to make the playoffs. Tell me why I'm wrong.
4-2 in the division. You could go 3-3 in the division and still make the playoffs. Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Well, with the extra game, you have 17 games.
But then I think that makes beating the Giants that even more must then. So if you're
we're in agreement that beating the Giants is a must.
Okay, right.
Okay, so we're in agreement. You're not getting an argument.
So if you go 3-3 in the division, then to me you have to go 3-0.
Yeah.
That's still only six. But Mike Kliss made a very good point. And I know the Broncos, based on what they've done the last 5 years, aren't in a position to just look at anybody and say, breeze. But when you look at their home schedule, boy, there are a lot of what should be W's out there. You get the Jets at home.
Mm-hmm.
You get Philadelphia at home. You get Detroit at home.
Right.
You get Cincinnati at home.
Yes.
You get Washington. Not a team that's going to come in here and scare you offensively. You get them at home. And then you got the rest of your division, along with the Ravens, too. But now,
but like you said,
there
are no layups for this
team. I agree, but if 6-2 at home, right? They have or do they have the extra home game? Wait a minute, do they have?
Oh gosh, hold on. 2, 3
Gallon weighs a gallon.
5 Gallon weighs a gallon.
Not gonna lay that one out.
No,
they got 9 home games. Okay, so 9 home games.
Niner.
9 home games.
Mm-hmm.
6-3 at home?
Yeah.
Yeah. 10 is the magic number.
So that means out of the 8 games, you gotta be 500 on the road, right?
Right. Which, 2 of them are at the Giants at Jacksonville.
Yeah. That's doable. It's doable.
Although,
you're always going to lose one or two that you should. You're always going to lose one that you know, somebody's going to get you.
Now I'm thinking you're going to have to go at least 7-2 at home. Because look at the road games. Tell me where the 4 road wins come from.
Okay.
4 road
Giants,
wins.
Jacksonville, 2.
Okay. At Pittsburgh. At Cleveland, at Dallas, at Kansas City, at Vegas, at the Chargers.
Yeah.
Not a lot of layups there on the road.
No, there aren't.
And you get to win 7 at home.
Oof.
7-2.
Yeah.
Right. You got I'll give you a loss to Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
Although, you know what? Enough's enough. Beat the freaking Chiefs, will you? Enough's enough. What is it, 11 in a row?
11 in a row.
Yeah, enough's enough. Beat the Chiefs here. Now, it's the last game of the season, so you might actually have the benefit of the Chiefs not playing for anything.
Yeah, you need to beat the Chiefs. That's kind of a nice scheduling little caveat there, huh? Last game of the season, the Chiefs in Denver.
Although, remember now, with the expanded playoffs now, only one team gets the bye.
Right.
So
could be important.
So that team that's second place, normally they could maybe coast a little bit. They got the bye, but now they may have a little bit more incentive than they normally
would.
And
the team, if you're tied for first or you're right there, you know, that could change hands, so you might get the full money there.
Yep. Or you'll go into that last week. Hey, you're neck and neck with the third seed.
Right.
And you're trying to win for that reason. So
I like it.
But enough's enough. They got to beat the Chiefs. So 7-2 at home.
Yeah.
I think if you're going to get to 10 wins, you got to go 7-2 at home.
Oof.
I know.
That's tall order, man.
But Jets, Ravens, Vegas, Washington, Philly, Chargers, Detroit, Cincinnati, Chiefs. Hey, if we're talking in the context of 10 wins, getting 7 home wins, I think that's doable.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is doable. Okay, we're done. By the way, just a quick reminder, Mark did hit the 243 number this morning. But, on the button.
But tomorrow.
But does he go for more or does he maintain? Either way. Or does he relapse? No relapse. Toes on the scale tomorrow morning.
I'll be there.
All right. Moment of truth. We'll have it for you tomorrow. Right now, coming up next, we have Chad Nate coming up next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.